And let's pray, and then we go into the study of seeing Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help me to relate the picture of Christ in the book of Isaiah. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The lesson tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah, and I entitled that the Messiah of Israel. And you can entitle many things Christ and Isaiah, but my favorite is the Messiah of Israel. Now, in the introduction, we have the progression series where we remember Christ in each book of the Bible as I study. It doesn't have to be necessarily this, but at least what I saw. In the book of Genesis, the seed of the women, all right? In Genesis 3:15. In the book of Exodus, the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. In the book of Leviticus, the high priest of the offering, Leviticus 8 and 12. In the book of Numbers, the brazen altar, Numbers 18. In the book of Deuteronomy, I, the prophet, Deuteronomy 18. In the book of Joshua, the savior of our soul as Joshua conquered the land. In the book of Judges, the judge, remember, and lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, he's kinsman redeemer. I cannot redeem it now, but I will redeem it later, it said. In the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Samuel was a man who prays. So is that the intercessor? And 1 and 2 King, 1 Chronicle and 2 Chronicle, the reigning king. By the way, all these books are one. You can see in my library over there, I have the Hebrew Bible. For real, they annotated, and you can look on it, and they're all one package over there. Then Ezra, he was what?
A faithful
scribe. He was a scribe. In Nehemiah, he built something, the builder of the wall, all right? In the book of Esther, she have an uncle by the name?
Mordecai.
So Jesus was? Greater than the Mordecai. What a class. All right. In the book of Job, he suffered, but God healed him. So Jesus is the healer of my spiritual life, my soul. In the book of Psalm, we took Psalm 23, and so Jesus is the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon shared a lot of wisdom with his son, so we call it Jesus the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we talk about Jesus as we go to the very end. This is the counsel that you fear God, praise the Lord. So Jesus is the fear of God. In the book of the Son of Solomon, such a very difficult book, we say that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And now we are tonight on the book of Isaiah. And the topic of our discussion is simply this, the book of Isaiah and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So, now the general information, and I'm going to, because I have a lot of material, I'm just going to name only, we don't want to look at the Bible for this, but in Luke 24 and 27, Jesus speaks to how many people?
Two
people. And what did he say? You can find me written in the scripture. In verse 44, he speaks to how many? 11, because one was already dead. So remember the Judah left and hanged himself. So he speaks to the 11, and he say to the 11, you can find me where? In the scripture. Okay, now we go to John chapter 5, 39. And Jesus said, you're a smart guy, cookies, all the things you do well, because if you read the scripture, you find about myself. He talks about, but he talks to whom? To Pharisees, to intelligent people. Say, oh, you are searching the scripture. That's very good. But I tell you, he said, if you search the scripture, you find myself. All right? And then my favorite verse, Hebrews 10, verse 7, is that in the volume of the book, and we studied the class tonight, Anthony, you were not there. We studied the class tonight. We have 66 volumes in one package. And I told the girls and the boys, don't let anybody lie to you. And we went from the watchtower, from all the printing things that you can find today in the market, so that they had that paper and they know where they made the mistake. All right? So beautiful. So whether you are in the Gospel of Luke, or whether you are in the Gospel of John or in the book of Hebrews, Jesus said the same thing. You can find me in the scripture. And by the way, girls, I think that's another proof how we can find if a book is about God or not. The book doesn't talk about Christ. It's not a book of the Bible. All right? All right. Well, so we have these three. Now we go into our study of the book, the specific information. And the specific information I have divided in three parts. The first part is history. Now, let's find out if what the book of Isaiah said, this is what we're going to do tonight, if what the book of Isaiah said is found in the New Testament, all right? Now, the book of Isaiah pictured the Lord Jesus. Let's see historically, the birth. I want somebody to look in Isaiah 7:14, all right? And somebody look in Matthew 1:23. So you will help me for this evening. Now, the book of Isaiah historically talks about the birth of Jesus in 7:14 in Isaiah. Who have that? Yes, go ahead, Darlene. All right, a virgin shall conceive, say Isaiah. That's a historical fact. A virgin shall have the Messiah. If we go to Matthew 1:23, let's find out. Okay, Anthony, go ahead.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with
us. See, the angel is talking to Joseph, and he said, don't panic. Behold, the virgin shall bring a child. And so you can see that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it said, here a virgin shall have the Messiah. In the New Testament, a virgin have the Messiah. Okay, the next step is the family. Let's go to Isaiah 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And here is the family of the Messiah mentioned by name. All right? And Mary, you have 11:1. Go ahead. Well, what's the name of the person that Jesus need to be born? Jesse. And Jesse was the father of who? David. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 1, where the genealogy is there. Go ahead, Amy, please.
And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon, a fur that had been the wife of Uriah.
Okay. See, Jesse became David. And if you keep on reading Matthew all the way, and they end up in Jesus. All right? By the verse 18 and 16 over there, you find Jesus. So you find in the genealogy of Jesus that he belonged to Jesse. Now, three things in history. The birth. It was taught how he needed to be born. It happened in the New Testament. The family. He needed to be related to Jesse. We know he is related to Jesse. Now the anointing. 11. You are in Isaiah 11. Now please read for me verse 2. Do you have it, Jacqueline? Okay, go ahead. See, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, knowing him because he is God, but rest upon him. So now in the baptism of Jesus, at Matthew 3:16, we see a spectacular thing, how the Spirit of God rested upon Jesus. Brother Plika, do you have Matthew 3:16? No. Okay, somebody have Matthew. Okay, Jimmy. Okay, the very next verse, 17.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well
pleased. See verse 17? A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. That's the anointing. So please add verse 17 here. And if you're taking notes, it's not only verse 16, but it's also verse 17. I do have the whole paper copy from the scratch of this. And so if you ever need it, I have even the commentary, type it, I pass it to you. So here we have the specific information, history, the birth, the family, the anointing, all coincide. This is what is called typology, was promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. Now we go to the point number two. And point number two is the characteristics about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus have in the Old Testament promised compassion. We're going to dwell in Isaiah 53 a lot because it's a picture, a clear picture of Jesus. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 is can make a real statement. Look in Isaiah 53, never let it go, put always a finger there. Okay, Raquel, can you read us verse 4 in Isaiah 53?
Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him striking, smiting by God and afflicted.
See, he carried our sorrows. He had compassion for us. Surely he carried our sorrows. Now, if you go, keep your hand in Isaiah 53. If you go to Mark 6 and in verse 34, you find that Jesus have compassion. Grace, go ahead.
And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion for them, because they were a sheep
without
a shepherd. And he came to teach them the
news. You know, I don't want to dwell in this. I want to put it completely away from my head. But this is scripture remind us that if a church has no shepherd, it's in chaos. And even Jesus is against it. He has compassion for the people because he has no shepherd. If you think of somebody that you know doesn't believe in shepherd and so on, sure, this is a scripture that even Jesus, when he saw a bunch of unbelievers without shepherd, he was moved with compassion. So he bare our sins. I'm in trouble. And then has compassion. Now, if you open your Bible again, Isaiah 53, and Candace, you maybe can read that verse 7, where the Bible over there said that the Messiah need to have meekness.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened
not his mouth. Thank you. Now, you know what meekness is. You're powerful, but you never use it for you, for your favor. Just between parentheses, when I play soccer, those players who are short, they are a devil. They want to really, and I enjoy when a team made the mistake to put a forward with short. Because, you know, when they come, a center from the, you know what a corner kick is? The rifle in front, come in. Oh, the goal. When you're a tall goalie, you just laugh about the guy. So I always put the elbow in his face and sorry, and I got the ball, you know. But I never abuse like other goalies who kick them and push them and, oh, I'm sorry, and fall up on the top of them. And I could. With a big body, you do it. In other words, you don't use for benefit yourself. That's what meekness is. You got power, never use it to your own selves, all right? And so Jesus, see, read again verse 7, Candace. You will see that in the reading. Thank you. He was oppressed, he opened not his mouth. He will not. Remember when he was on the cross, he said, I can call how many angels? 12 legions of angels. But he didn't. All right, they were all flying with the machine guns. What do we do? He said, well, forget it. All right, now let's go. Keep your hand in Isaiah. Go to Matthew 11:29, where Jesus himself speaks about himself. All right, is anybody, other girls over there in the back, got Matthew? Trisha, you got Matthew 11:29? You got it, Daniel? Okay, go ahead. Let's see, Daniel.
I want to go to the temple to
Let me see. Is it, are not, Matthew 11:29, oh, darling, you're in the wrong spot. But it's okay, we all sometimes be in the wrong spot. Here is 29. You want to read it, or we get it? We get Trisha to read it for you. Okay, Trisha, go ahead. Okay, all right, darling. All right, that's good. That's very good, Daniel.
Take my yoke upon me and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest
for your soul. Okay. Now here it is for you, Daniel. That's a big letter. That's my Bible. you want that Bible? All right. That's a big letter. That's a big letter like that for grandpa's, that Bible. Eh? All right. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you because I am what? Meek. I will not abuse my power that I'm God. Not beautiful? That's the prophecy. Okay. Do I have another one? Yeah. Saving power. Jesus have saving power. Ephesians 3 and verse 11. All right. Who got Isaiah 53, 11? Let me see. Somebody want to do it? Okay, Shelley, go ahead. See, by his power, he shall justify many. All right? By his power. All right? Now, somebody need to go to Matthew 1 and verse 21. You got it, Emma? Go ahead.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins.
He shall save his people. He shall save people from his name. You know, Jesus saved. He has power to save. But what's given here? And he already will have power for many. And the New Testament said, yes, he has power. He will save people. I have one more point. That's mission. All right? Point number three, the mission of the Lord Jesus. What Jesus came to do here on this earth. All right? Let's find out. You know what a sin bearer means? Anthony, can you explain this word? Sin bearer. You know what that means? Okay, so I'm adult. Brother Cassandra, explain that word so the young people can understand. I tried to put it, but I can't find it. Sin bearer.
Like a scapegoat.
Carries the sin of other people.
Yeah, in other words, like a piggyback. You know, like a piggyback man. I wanted to say those words, but imagine Jesus piggyback all your sins on his back. And all the her sin, and her sin, and her sin. Piggyback. He carried, okay? Let's read it. Isaiah 53, verse 6, Brother Cassandra, he's not so old. He's not so old. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 6. So the Messiah, not only he had to qualify in many things, the Messiah had to qualify having no sin of his own, the Lord will put all the sins upon him. So let's find 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And now we're going to ask Brother Plika to find it. All right. Oh, okay. It's in the New Testament, Brother Plika. 5, 21. Okay. See, God made him who have no sin, sin for us. So that he become our righteousness, to put in that way. One more as in his mission. So he came to take our sins. Jesus came to take our sins. And now, not only to take our sins, but to intercede for us. Who has Isaiah 53 and verse 12? Okay, Anthony, go ahead.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
And made intercession for the transgressors. See, it's no a picture on the wall or a statue that make intercession for you. The Messiah has to make intercession for you. All right, let's find 1 Timothy 2, 5, where the Bible tells us, Job is in the back. You got it. All right, see, he was hiding from me behind Brother Doolittle. He don't want me to call it, but I found it. Okay, go ahead.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man Jesus.
You see how the things match together? So I have 300 matching on Jesus from Isaiah 53, but only I have this time for you. But be sure. Isaiah is like the gospel in the Old Testament. It's telling all what the Messiah should do. And when you look in the gospels, you see that what Isaiah said happened in the Lord Jesus. Now, what is the message then? And the message is this. John chapter 40. And you will know these from memory. Go ahead. There's more scripture. No? All right. Okay, they are coming down from heaven, these are scriptures. All right, all right. Look at this, they're all coming together. Okay, now we got it. In John 1:40, one of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew. Hey, Andrew, are you there? Andrew was one of them, Simon Peter's brother. And he first finding his own brother, Simon, and Simon was who?
Peter.
Peter. All right. Said unto him, we have found what?
The Messiah.
See, the Bible clicked together. The Old Testament talked about the Messiah. And Andrew was a man and a scholar who checked things out. And he brought Greeks unto Jesus. He said, we have found the Messiah, which is, interpret, Christ. Now, this word and this word are the same. This word is in what language? Messiah, Hebrew. And Christ, Christos, is in what language?
Greek.
So he said, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, which is being translated, he said, Christ. Isn't that fantastic? So the book of Isaiah talks about the Messiah. The New Testament reveals the Messiah. And then we find the experience of one man who said, we have found the Messiah. So come on, the Bible is really a Swedish clock fit together. Thank God for that. What a joy is to know that we have a Christ who is true in the scripture. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the lesson tonight. It was brief but powerful, because we saw in the Bible the Christ, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, that we know him personally as we talk this morning. He is my Lord and my God. May these young people make that Christ their God and their Lord. In Jesus we pray, asking you blessings for the week, and especially for Terry Pereira, who lost her mother and the departure to heaven. Actually, she win her mother, Lord, into your presence, but she's going to miss her here on earth. Thank you for the three sisters who care for her mother. And Father, I was there reading the scripture and praying at the last moment when one of the sisters who is not a believer was there, and she was listening. And Terry told me that she said to Terry, I heard every word the pastor said. So Lord, maybe you use this occasion to bring someone else into the presence of God. Bless the family. In Jesus we pray. Amen.